Mutual presents Arch Obler's Plays. The Mutual Broadcasting System has the pleasure of presenting the 13th broadcast of a special 26-week series of plays by radio playwright Arch Obler. In this series, we hope to bring you dramas full of the excitement and the meaning of plays told in relation to the expanding world we live in. Arch Obler has something to tell you about tonight's play.
Last week, we told you tonight would bring you a comedy about the big shots, the holy moguls of our world. Well, that play just didn't right. Instead, here, and with much pleasure in the bringing, is that fine character actor, Morris Karnowski, in a play about Dr. Bluff.
Talking to himself out loud, he's crazy. All right, I'm crazy, crazy, crazy. No, I can't keep on talking like this. But I must. Just think of things in your head isn't enough. You've got to talk them, put them into words, hear them in your ears. How could so much happen in these 2 hours? Yes, it's only 2 hours, 12 o'clock, and it started at 10. Now it's 12, a minute two. No, 12. Exactly, 2 hours. So much in 2 hours. Well, it's better to talk out loud. Talk out for 2 hours. How was it? At 10, I came into my office. Private door. Miss Cooper said...
Good morning, Doctor.
Just as always? Good morning, Doctor. Just as always. Reception room filled. Everything fine. In my private office, chrome, tile, and walnut furniture. $5,000 cash it cost me.
Doctor's office needs... Enchanting, Dr. Dayton. The finest doctor's offices in all America.
I sat down in my office. I remember I buzzed Miss Cooper.
Yes, Dr. Dayton?
I said, and what little gems of fitness have we today, Miss Cooper?
Quite a full morning, Doctor. Mrs. Miss Warren, Mrs. Esther Lawrence, Utility Lawrence's. Three of our new cases, including that passing through and Mrs. Pointer phoned about. Oh, yes, and there was Greg. He told her to come back in 2 weeks. And
but
he's
I'm talking about this patient, that patient. All at once,
yes.
I heard another voice in the room. There was only Miss Cooper, and yet I heard another voice.
You're looking smug as usual, Dr. Bluff.
Miss Cooper!
What is it, Doctor?
No. He said something.
Why, yes, of course. I'm just telling you about the patient.
He said something else. You did?
No. No, Doctor.
I heard.
Telling you about the
I protested so vigorously, convincingly. Let her go. Hearing things, that's what I thought. Good morning, Dr. Bluff. I heard it so clearly. Well, no magic. The first patient?
Dr. Drayton, dear, Dr. Drayton, you must have me listen to me. My heart is palpitating again. I know it. Definite palpitations. I hear them. I feel it in my head today.
Infernal woman talking. While she was talking, suddenly I heard so clearly...
I'm drinking too much. You drink, Dr. Drayton. No, it's the cash you want, not drink. Well, you won't get cash from me. A check, and that's no good until Joe comes through with that alimony. Maybe I won't pay you at all. Send it for a trip. Need a trip. Need name.
Jump to my feet. Slam the door.
What? What is it, Dr. Drayton?
No one in the room but you.
Oh, the doctor button the world's wrong.
I heard you. Yes, while you were talking.
Oh, doctor, what on earth is this?
No one here but you and I. No one.
Oh, doctor, that's in my heart.
You saw
no,
me. No, I heard it most distinctly. While she'd been talking, another voice talking. Her voice. No, not quite like her voice, and yet her voice. I got rid of her somehow. The next patient?
Yes, I'm back, Doctor. After that atrocious thing you sent me, I shouldn't come back, but here I am. You may examine me.
Mrs. Smith Warren, old crow, sickness of living too long, started to examine. And then I heard...
No good.
Again another voice.
No good, Father.
Old woman sitting there, not talking, and yet I heard...
You're getting younger, Doctor.
Her lips weren't moving.
Just like your hands.
What I was hearing...
Old hands like mine.
As if...
Veins, brown spots.
What was in her mind?
A younger man.
What she was thinking.
A younger man to make me forget.
What she was thinking. That was it. That voice, the thoughts in her mind, that was it.
The other voices thoughts in the minds of the others. That's what I heard. But, oh, it was incredible. Impossible. The thoughts in the mind of another? Was I losing my mind? I remember I called the nurse back. She came into the room. As she came closer to the desk, I observed.
All right. What's the trouble now, Dr. Bluff?
He hadn't said a word, and yet I heard.
What's the trouble now, Dr. Bluff?
I said, Cooper, did you think?
What? Oh, no, Doctor.
Been hitting the bottle again, Dr. Bluff?
Stop whispering!
I haven't said anything.
It was true. She hadn't spoken. I knew it. But I said, don't you lie to me. I heard you.
You're drunk, little man. You are drunk.
How dare you? I'm not drunk. How dare you say that? When I said not drunk, her face went white as if the blood in her head turned to water. Her mouth opened. She didn't say anything. And yet I heard.
How did he know?
I kept on hearing.
I didn't speak. I didn't. He knows what I saw. He knows that I said Dr. Bluff.
What?
Doctor.
I heard you.
Doctor,
Dr. Bluff, all right.
No, I didn't.
Quiet.
Had
I heard her thoughts? Had I? Or was it my own brain? Tired. An aura of hallucination. I had to find out. I opened the door of the reception room. I listened. Women chattering. Normal enough. Then, above their voices, lifting above it so clearly in my ear. Other voices. Yes, their voices. Yes, true. The thoughts in their minds. It rushed into the room.
Oh, Doctor.
Yes. Dr. Drayton?
Dear Doctor.
Am I next?
Dear Dr. Drayton.
I've been so impatient, Doctor.
But the other things I was hearing.
That's a man.
The voices in my head. I said, no! Get out of here! Oh, my God! I sat in my office. Alone. All of them gone. I just sat.
Madness.
I just sat in my office, afraid to think.
Madness.
Horrible word, frightening word. Even to think of it, that it wasn't true. It wasn't. Yes, my mind was strangely sensitized to what people thought. Why not? Reason it out, talk it out. Yes, if I could tell someone, explain. Fred. Yes, Fred Kendall. Good old Fred. I called him. Yes, good old Fred.
Hello? Is Dr. Kendall in? Yes, I want to talk to him. Dr. Drayton, hurry. Hello? Fred? This is Emily Drayton. Listen, Fred, come over right away. It's of the utmost importance. Yes, of the utmost importance.
Good old Fred, best friend Fred. A good doctor, didn't make much money. Not my class, but a good man, sensible, understanding.
Well, Emily, what is it?
Nothing too important, I hope. A drink, Fred?
I have a number of calls to make, Emily. Would you mind telling me just
Yes, of course, Fred. I suppose I should preface it all with this. At school, ever since... I've always had a great deal of respect for you. If I haven't been able to do anything materially, it's only been through force of circumstances.
All right, Dr. Bluff.
You said
nothing?
You said nothing.
Dr. Bluff, what are you selling?
No, don't say that.
Why?
What's the matter with you, Emily?
I thought... Listen to me, Fred. Do you think it possible for a man, to say, well, I have a patient. He believes he can hear the thoughts of people around him.
Say what you're up to, Dr. Bluff.
Dr. Bluff. I heard him think it again, the same words the nurse. I said,
Fred, are you listening to me?
Why, of course I am.
What are you so excited about, Dr. Bluff?
Dr. Bluff. Would he stop saying it? And why was he saying it? No, I'd ignore the thought in his mind. Keep on talking and get his opinion. It wasn't madness. It wasn't. I had to know.
Now, look here, Emory. This is my busy morning. I'm an unimportant practitioner, I know. But believe me, people are ill in my borough.
I'm trying to tell you. This patient, as I was saying, thinks he hears voices. That is, the thoughts of people around him.
You're even more stupid than I thought, Dr. Bluff. Don't you even know paranoia when you see it?
Paranoia? I heard him say it. No, it wasn't true. Not madness. I was hearing his thoughts. Same, and I was hearing his thoughts.
She's...
Allow to be said. Look, why consult me on this, Emery? I'm none of your gilded psychiatrists. Come to the point. Why did you send for me?
Well, well, talk up, Dr. Bluff. Oh, what's up your dirty sleeve? Why?
He waited for me to speak. I began thinking that if I kept talking about it, this patient hearing things in his head, he'd begin to suspect me. He'd think I was crazy. He'd go out and tell people that... No.
You are clever, aren't you, Fred? Yes, yes. I had a rational reason for sending for you. Yes, indeed. I've neglected you, Fred. I want you to help me here on an obstruction case. Good. Please, Fred. I'll see that you get that.
And all the time I kept talking to him, I could hear him thinking,
Dr. Bluff, dear obnoxious, infantile Dr. Bluff, you're in a jam. I know it. You want my help. Do you ever cure anything worse than a case of sniffles without help, Dr. Bluff? Dr. Bluff.
I could hear him. I could hear him.
Dr. Bluff. How much will last year? $40,000, $50,000. I make 10, you make 50. If you're a pimple yet, Dr. Bluff, how's my name? How soon do you start telling me how wonderful you are, Dr. Bluff?
I began to realize he was making fun of me and his thoughts. But it couldn't be true. Not Red. He respected me.
Dr. Bluff.
No, that name. Why should Miss Cooper, why should they call me that name?
Dr. Emery C. Drayton.
Respected.
The respected Dr. Emery C. Drayton.
Always respected.
Office, Park Avenue.
Yes, indeed. Best in the city.
Waiting list of patients.
Of course. Always respected.
Bank balance, $53,359.42.
Yes. All that money, patients paid the money because they respected me.
Yes, facts were facts.
Dr. Bluff.
Frederick thinking that. He's jealous of me. The man was jealous of my success. Telephone rang as I was sitting there.
Medical Association meeting at noon, Doctor. Just a reminder.
Medical meeting at noon? Oh, yes. I'd go there. Oh, my colleague. Pleasant, charming. Fred Kendall, he'd upset me. His petty jealousy upset me. I'd go to the meeting. Calm down, I thought. Poor, unsuccessful Fred with his grubby little audience and his grubby little patients. Let him be jealous. I had what I had. Money, position, respect. Poor, jealous Fred. Laughing at him, I almost forgot about the thoughts. I forgot until I went out of the office into the elevator.
Going down, Doc?
Went into the elevator. Only passengers.
How's larceny, fathead?
I wasn't sure that I heard.
Say your hot stuff and ingrown toenails, Doc. $25 a crack.
Shut up! How dare you! He didn't know what I was yelling about. He thought I'd gone crazy. The street. My car at the curb. Chauffeur. My face must have shown my excitement. Chauffeur said.
Is there something wrong, Doc?
Mind your own business. Medical car.
Yes, sir.
Auto, riding gone, so confused, everything so confused. How dare they think of me that way? How dare they, Cooper, Fred, those women, little fool in the elevator, none of my ability, important. How dare they talk like that? As we drove along, I realized I wasn't hearing thoughts. Ah, the hallucination over. I was free of it, free. I felt fine. What I'd been enduring. All right, forget it, I told myself. Don't think about it. Got to the medical club. Late. Hurried into the room where the meeting was to be held. Room full of men. My colleagues. Oh, fine men. Substantial men. Best practices. Good to see them. Dr. Strauss and Dr. Ellington and Dr. Edwards and Dr. Chester. Oh, all of the best men in town. No petty jealousies there. Upper bracket men. Fine men. I went in. Empty chair, Mr. Strauss. Good man. Practice worth $30,000 a year, but it's worth a cent. I said.
Hello, Strauss.
He looked up at me. Small, glistening, clever eyes of man looking at me. I said.
Mind if I keep my cabbage next to you?
And then, something in my head. I heard.
So can I help myself, Dr. Bluff?
Dr. Bluff, I was hearing that it happened again, hearing talk.
So are you standing there with your mouth open like a goldfish? Sit down, Dr. Bluff.
Dr. Bluff, Scott, too, thought of me as... Aloud, he said...
Well, there isn't the illustrious Dr. Drayton. Don't stand there. Sit down, Drayton. You're too late to eat, but not late enough for the speaker.
I couldn't speak. I sat down, looked around me, could hear the murmur of their voices, and above their voices, that other sound. The thought in them. Someone down the table called...
Greetings, Brother Drayton.
Dr. Bartman, good man, fine practice.
How does that gentleman come to lecture me, Dr. Drayton?
I heard my voice say,
fine, fine.
Then I heard...
Did you use a hacksaw, Dr. Bluff?
Who held your hand while you did it, Dr. Bluff?
Sure it was the tonsil you took out, Dr. Bluff? Sure it wasn't the thyroid or the liver?
No. They couldn't be thinking like that of me. Not these men.
Did your nurse operate for you?
I'm going to write a book about it, Bluff, eh?
Where now the funeral services, Dr. Bluff?
Is it true you split the
seas with your bushes?
It's true. They were thinking that of me. And they stopped. The chairman, the speaker of the day.
And so, gentlemen, I ask your attention for a few well-chosen words from our distinguished guest, the head of the County Research Hospital, Dr. Franz Jennings. Dr. Jennings.
Jennings, great man. Got up, caught my eye, smiled. I hardly heard him begin. In my head, what little has it been thinking? It couldn't be true.
Thank you. Gentlemen, this is the first time that I have addressed your luncheon club, because frankly, the medical profession, like most professions, was affected with too much talk and too little action. Too many medical men talk research, too few practice it. The result, as far as original work in the science of medicine is concerned, is that the sum total of research in this city is smaller than the meat course you just served me for lunch. You men represent the elite of the medical profession in this community. The elite. Presumably, intellectually, as well as, unfortunately, from a financial standpoint. I coupled the word financial with unfortunately because most of you, as soon as you started making money, substituted golf clubs for scalpels and tennis rackets for test tubes. So few of you, therefore, I say, and those few know who they are, I say, spend a little time in between collecting fees and research. It may not pay off in duplex apartments, but believe me, you'll find satisfactions beyond price. Others of you here, well, I'm very happy for all of us that you do stay away from the laboratories. You are doctors the way a man is a salesman or a broker or a truck driver. So much time spent for so much money. You give a service and you're paid. That is all. And that is all right.
Benson looked down the long table at me.
Others of you, you shouldn't have bothered becoming doctors. Floor walkers, yes. Managers of ladies' dress shops, yes. But not doctors.
He's talking about Dr. Bluff.
I've heard someone think that.
There is a place in the medical profession for both the idealist and for the materialist, but not for the incompetent fool, the thought who does not diagnose properly, nor does he cure. Yet, Hippocrates, in all his glory, never was more sanctimoniously self-important.
Old Doc Bluff, so help.
Another one at the table thinking that.
They squeezed through a medical education by the grace of God, a glib tongue, and soft-hearted examiners. They build up a practice by politics, charming manners, and a colossal ability to bluff.
Dr. Bluff.
Eventually, success. An interior decorated office on the best avenue, a streamlined office girl, and a vacuum mind. I tell you, gentlemen, I'm
Dr. Bluff. Look at Bluff.
Dr. Bluff, talk to you about him.
Dr. Bluff.
I could hear them laughing at me. No, they couldn't. Laughing at me. Their faces so serious, listening to the speaker, but in their minds, laughing at me, all of them. At me, Emily Drayton. I heard the sound of my ears, tearing me. They couldn't be doing this to me. I was a doctor with them. Why should they laugh? Stop laughing. Why did they stop? I couldn't endure. I couldn't. Stop.
Stop it, Drayton. Stop laughing. Stop laughing.
rush out of here. Get away from me. Get away. What is happening? All right. It is true. I was losing. $175. Deep, fat face. Fine office. But I was nothing. All my life, nothing. Only you enough to make money with Bluff. Dr. Bluff. All right, I was Bluff. All right. So I came here. Home. Dr. Bluff had lived me. A wife. So I came home. Home. Kathy. I had to see Kathy. She's coming downstairs. Dressed to go out. She looked down at me, her face filled with surprise. I looked up at her and my wife. Wanted to speak. Couldn't. So young. So lovely. She came close. I heard.
You're home early. You look sick. I'm sick of you. Sick. Maybe you'll die.
She was thinking that. Kathy, thinking that. Maybe you'll die. You're crying, Dr. Bluff. It's pretty late to cry. Pretty late even to talk to yourself. Why should she love you, Dr. Bluff? A bluff at work, a bluff at love. Bluff. What a horrible thing for a man to hear what people think of him.
Poor Daddy.
Who said that? Who? Who's out there in the hall? Who's out there?
I'm sorry, Doctor. Just taking the baby out for a walk.
Excuse me. No. Wait. I heard her.
Oh, no, Doctor. Believe me. She didn't make a sound. She's such a good child.
Let go of the child, of her hand. I want her.
But Doctor, you never...
Give me my child, I tell you.
But, Doctor, you never... She's afraid of me. I mean...
Go on, go!
She's afraid of me. I mean...
Ruth. Give me your hand. You're not afraid of your father.
Mommy.
That's a good girl. Come in here. Your father wants to talk to you.
All right.
Can you sit down?
Listen to that, please.
All right. Not very large, are you? How old are you? 3, 4? Sorry, I've forgotten.
I'm 5 years old.
I haven't seen you very often. You've been too busy. Why do you look at me like that? What are you thinking?
Poor Daddy.
You said that aloud this time. What you're thinking, I can't hear it. I can't hear it anymore.
Don't frighten me, Daddy.
No, I don't want to frighten you. It's gone. Gone again. And for good. I can't hear what people think. I know now I won't ever hear it.
Please, Daddy.
No, I won't frighten you. Believe me.
Poor Daddy.
Why do you say it?
Daddy, I'm tired.
Yes, I am tired. I am. It's been such a strange day.
Poor Daddy.
You like me?
I love you very much.
Why?
I don't like you. You're my birthday.
What?
My birthday. My pretty birthday.
Yes, it is a pretty birthday. The story of the happy kitten.
From the first picture, Daddy.
Yes. Once upon a time, long ago, there lived a king, a very happy king, who had horses and boats and everything in the world.
Daddy?
What?
Did he have everything in the world? Everything?
That's what the book says.
But if he had everything, what have you got, Daddy?
I've got $53,439
and... What did you say?
I've got
a book. It's a closet.
I've got a book of fairy stories.
Yes.
book of fairy stories. And you... Dr. Bluff, a play by Art Obler. The leading role taken by Mr. Morris Carnatic. Included in the cast in the order of their appearance were Olive Byrne, Mary Jane Cross, Dorothy Scott, Barbara Eiler, Gloria Blondell, Lou Tuttle, Everett Allen, Bruce Elliott, Bill Christie, and Theodore Von Elf, Earl Ross, and Norman Wilson. The music was composed and conducted by Jack Meekin. Next week, a new play written especially for radio. This will be the 14th of a special series of plays written, produced, and directed for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Arch Obler. To complete the program, Jack Meekin conducts the orchestra in excerpts from his original composition, Memoir. Broadcasting system.